Today we're going to continue on in a subject that we've been talking about for many weeks, about the new creation. You know, God has a new creation. God made the heavens and the earth a long time ago, but He has a creation He's making today, and that creation is you. God is creating you and making you His. And as much as Genesis 1 tells us about how God created the heavens and earth, it tells us about how God is creating you, giving us a blueprint of how God takes us from formless to beautified in the image of Jesus Christ. So if you can get the first slide here, we see in Genesis 1 that God made the heavens and earth. And certainly we acknowledge that God is our maker. We're only here because of God. The next slide. And the earth was a wasteland covered in darkness. And without Christ in our lives are meaningless. They're dark. They're hopeless. They're not producing anything good. Without God, it's meaningless. But then what happened? God sent His Spirit on the face of the waters. He began to call, to select, to choose. All the planets in the world, God came to the planet Earth, and of people, Jesus said, "Hey, you did not choose me. I chose you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain." And so God then commanded and said, "Let there be light." And we got the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ that shone on us. We got to see the Son of God, the love that God has for us, in that our Father sent His Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And then God showed us the true state of who we are. Because as much as the brightness of Christ shines and we see the glory of God, it reveals how far we have fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so it takes us to a decision point. Will we believe? Will we confess our sins? Will we repent? And so God does this creative work in us and shows us that light. Then God brought the earth out of the waters of death. As He begins to create, as the light is shown, He begins to remove the waters of death. And certainly we had that when we came out of the waters of baptism. And then what does He do? As we repent, believe, and are baptized, we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, the living waters that God gives to us. Next slide. And then God commands that the earth begins to bring forth food. So as God shapes the planet Earth and He makes the waters now alive, the land springs up and He has the seed come up and plants producing seed and spreading the seed and starting to multiply. And God does this in our lives as He puts the implanted Word combined with the Holy Spirit, with a willing and ready heart, we begin to produce fruit for God. And our lives are changed and we begin to be beautified before God. Next slide. And then the lights and the firmament. It's kind of interesting that God created light on the first day. He does this work, and then on the fourth day, He goes back and He starts putting in specific lights, lining up for signs and seasons, for days, for years. He lines everything up, and all these points of light let you know where you are, let you know the direction. So if you're a ship out in the middle of the ocean in the night, you can look up to the points of light and know exactly which way to go. And as God calls us and as we begin to produce fruit, He wants us to be exercising the wisdom, the life that He has revealed to us in His Word. As we continue to learn of His ways, as we continue to walk in His commandments, as we continue to see the things that God has, we have a direction to know the difference. Next one. The difference between good and evil, right and wrong. God wants us to know the difference. So all of this is part of creating something new. And as important as the signs and the seasons are to us, we need to know the paths and directions and the times in which we live, and God reveals it. But as it says in each day, do you believe it's good? Do you believe all those things are good? Because God is shaping us and forming us into the image of His Son. Now He says, let the waters then abound in abundance of creatures and let the birds fly above, and certainly let your good works abounding. But as Jesus said, hey, don't let your left hand know what the right hand is doing. We don't get to see, but maybe a glimpse every once in a while of a little life out of the ocean or out of a river. But there's a ton of teeming life that's under the surface. And as you begin to walk with God, the life starts to change. Things happen in your home, in your marriages, with the way you're raising your children, with the way you are at work, with the way you are with your friends. Things that I may never see, that the world may not see, but things are happening, fruit is being produced, and you are giving life. From the life God has produced in you, you are now giving life to others in secret places, giving of your gifts and having the works be shown. Next slide. And the earth brought forth creatures, each after their own kind. Let your life give life to others in everything. As Paul said, may you be rich in every occasion, that with all sufficiency, you could be generous on every occasion. God gives us everything we need so that as we look upon the earth, the planet Earth, we see God has produced life everywhere. And when He looks at our lives, this life to be everywhere as well. And God saw that it was good, taking and dedicating all that we are, just as the planet Earth does, to provide good for those inhabitants of it, so does God want our lives. For Jesus Himself said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but rather to serve. That our lives would be in service to others. And then it says, God made man in His image. And certainly, what is God doing? But transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ, till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then the next slide. Why? Next slide. Man given dominion over the earth. God gives us an inheritance and dominion in His kingdom. Next slide. And so we have the dominion that is given to mankind. God made man in His image, and then He said, I give you dominion. Fill the earth, subdue it. Be fruitful, multiply, go forward. So if you miss these sermons, you can hear them all online. Every one of those slides basically was a sermon. But now I want to pick it up where we are today in Genesis chapter 1. So turn with me there, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and in verse 29. Genesis chapter 1, and in verse 29. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food, and to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. So as Scott talked about, God gives us life. He gives us liberty. He gives us property. He gives us freedom. He says, hey, what? These are all things. Everything that you see that I created and brought forth, all these, this vegetation, it's all for you. That you and all the creatures I made would have food. Turn with me over to the book of Ecclesiastes. Book of Ecclesiastes. Notice here in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 24. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and in verse 24. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 24 says this, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? Now notice here in chapter 3, just dropping down here to verse 9. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. Now you might remember in chapter 2, when God put man in the garden, He said, tend and keep. Tend it and keep it. The dominion that God gave to fill the earth and subdue it, He says, take it and tend it and keep it. Make it better. Enrich it. Make it beautiful. And here we see the God-given task that Solomon is talking about here in Ecclesiastes, that this is the task that God has given. And notice this, verse 10. So I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied, tending and keeping. Verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. That's something just to meditate. He has made everything beautiful in its time. God is doing a creative work in you and in me. And in giving of the food, He's still continuing on this work of creation. We were made in God's image. We were told to be fruitful and multiply. We were told to take dominion over the earth. And he says, and all these things that I've made, all this vegetation and this produce, this is all for you to be eating. This is food for you. So, continuing on in verse 11. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Now, what's interesting is, the days go on, and as we have the light of Christ, we see more and more the plans. As Paul said, we see through a glass darkly, but we are seeing through a glass darkly. The things that God is doing, the creative process that is taking place for all mankind through salvation, and that takes place personally for you and me, as God does this work of a new creation in our lives. Verse 12, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. It was the gift from the beginning. All these things, God says, that I have made. I made it for you, for your food, for you to have, for you to partake of, for you to enjoy. Turn with me to Psalms, back to Psalms 104. Psalms 104 and verse 10. All the beauty that God makes is all about what He is doing to bring many sons to glory, to bring forth His children by the creative work through His Son, through His Spirit. Notice now Psalms 104 verse 10. He says, He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. And just stop and meditate for a moment on the creative work of this planet and the way God designed it as He shapes the earth and as He shapes the living waters, how where the living waters go, they provide for the earth to beautify it. But God was not just thinking about beautifying the earth, but in addition to beautifying the earth, providing all of this for the creatures that He would put on the earth. So as we talked about before, what good would it be if God made all the animals and all the creatures and He didn't have an environment to sustain them? It's because He made the environment such that there can be life and that the life can continue and it can be blessing and it can be multiplied. See, God created the environment with which there can be blessing and there can be increase on the earth. So continuing on here, notice in verse 12, by them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from His upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. Verse 14, He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of mankind, that He may bring forth food from the earth, wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. Isn't that beautiful? All the creative work that we were seeing that God was doing in the streams and forming and shaping the earth to bring forth supply was all to produce then that man that was made in His image could partake and enjoy of it. That He could make, as it says, man's heart. Wine that makes glad the heart of man. Oil that makes his face shine. Bread which strengthens man's heart. That's a beautiful verse to meditate on. Because you realize, as physical wine, as physical oil, as physical bread can do these things, we know that God is doing a creative spiritual work in our lives to transform us. As much as He supplied these things to the planet Earth, as much as we talked about how important it is to believe in Jesus Christ, to confess our sins and to repent, as important as it is to receive the Holy Spirit, to begin a change and begin producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, as important as it is to plant the Word of God and have the seed of God's Word go forth and continue to produce fruit and multiply, as important as it is that there be the fruit being given to the animals and the animals being created and them having life and God filling every place on the earth having life, what he's really coming down to is creating man in his image, giving him dominion, and giving him the blessing to have enjoyment in life. God wants to see you enjoy life. And what sin has done is corrupted what God has created, corrupted what is beautiful, corrupted what God wants to do. You realize the work of Satan the devil is to encourage sin, to encourage things that are against God, to encourage things that go against God. But what God does is continue to pour out gifts that if we, through faith, receive and believe in them, and if we start to implement them in our lives, it will transform us from who we are today to who God created us to be. He is taking us from this mound of clay and transforming us into the image of God till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Our lives are to be changed. Our lives are to be new. Because we're not just talking about the fruit of the planet Earth, we're talking about the fruit that comes from Jesus Christ working in our lives. The hope of glory by the power of His Spirit. We're being changed. You, my friends, are the new creation. You are the ones in whom God is doing His work today. You are the one He's shaping to become the image of Christ, to give you dominion, and that dominion would be a blessing to take of the gifts and the food that God gives. There is a better food than what this earth can produce. The vines produce grapes from which to make wine. It's good, but there's something better. Trees produce olives from which you can get olive oil. It's good, but there's something better. The grains grow up from which you can take it and make bread. It's good, but there's something better. Turn with me to John, the book of John. John chapter 6. See, God wants you to rejoice and know joy. God wants your face to shine. God wants your heart to be strong. And as much as physical foods can do that, I tell you there is a better food that we must seek, that we will live by, even as we come to the image of Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. John chapter 6, let's just pick it up here in verse 26. This was after Jesus had fed the 5,000 and people started following Him. Because, you know, what do people do when there's a free meal? Maybe there's another free meal coming, right? People start saying, hey, the food was good. Jesus knows how to, you know, prepare good fish and bread. So they're following, and notice what Jesus says to them. Verse 26 of John chapter 6, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Now this work that Jesus is doing is to feed us, to bless us. But it's the food not that is of this world that He wants us going after, but the food that does not perish, the food that is everlasting. Now turn back with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and let's pick this up in verse 31. What is this everlasting food? What is this food that does not perish? What is this food that Jesus feeds us with? John chapter 4 and verse 31 says this, in the meantime, His disciples urged Him, that is, urging Jesus, saying, Rabbi, eat. And He said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. I have food to eat of which you do not know. Verse 33, therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought Him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Now, I want you to think about this again as we look at Genesis, and God certainly gave us the blessing, physical food, and that's how we live. But really what Jesus is doing in His creative work is giving us the food that will continue to sustain us always. When God creates us in His image, it's a work even of itself. While there is a completion in coming to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, there is that giving of dominion. But how do we live even in the resurrection? It's by the will of God. It's by doing the things of God. You see, there is a way of life. There is a way of living that is forever, that sustains us, that holds us. Heaven and earth can pass away. The Word of God endures forever. Brad sang about Jesus' love never fails. The Bible says His love never fails. His love endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Think of the sweetest fruits in life. Not the fruits of an apple or an orange or a pear. Think about the things that are so sweet in life. The fruits of the Spirit that God produces in you. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentle. Kind. Faithful. Meek. Right? Forgiving. Generous. There's all these fruits of life that come from living God's way. All these fruits that He produces when we believe in Jesus, when we confess our sins, when we repent, when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we yield our lives to God and we yield our lives to His Word, the implanted Word, when watered by the Spirit, starts to produce things that are incredible. And you realize that in the relationships that can last an eternity, what makes them so treasured is that these fruits are being produced. You see, if I love you and you love me, if I'm being kind to you and you're being kind to me, doesn't that produce something that can last forever? You see, the world is in a constant state of degradation because people do not tend and keep to the things of God, but they tend and keep to the things of the world, which got to go away. The world's ways, what it wants to feed you, goes away. It doesn't last. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. I just want to pick up a principle here. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 17. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 17. The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Do you get that? What is the enduring quality? Made in God's image, told to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over all of it, and eat of the things that God has produced, that God has provided. You remember in the garden, right? That God said to Adam and Eve, you can eat of anything you want, but don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What? One thing. But even God gave them liberty, didn't He? They could do it. He gave them the liberty, but He said, don't do that. He set a will. God's will was, you can have everything. All the fruit-producing trees are producing fruit for you. Eat of all of it. Enjoy it. Have it. It's my gift to you. But this one tree, don't take of it. God's will was, have as much of all these things that I've made as you want, but not this one thing. But what did the woman see? She saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desirous to make one wise. I notice here in 1 John 2 and in verse 16. It says in 1 John 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world is what? The lust of the flesh. It was good for food. The lust of the eyes. It was pleasant to the eyes. And the pride of life, desirous to make one wise. It is not of the Father, but of the world. It was against His will. God's will does not evaluate the way the will of man does, the way the will of the world does. The world has a way of evaluating, and that way is based on lust, based on desire, based on selfishness, which will always end up leading down a path of destruction. Because essentially you'll come to a point in the road where you do what you want because you want it without consideration of somebody else. Why do people steal? Because they want something. What are they not thinking about? The person who owns it that they're stealing it from. They don't care about that person. That's why they take it. That's the way of the world. The way of the world is survival of the fittest. Whoever's strong enough to take, gets. Who's ever strong enough to possess, has. Who's ever strong enough to oppress, does. And we have slavery continuing on and on and on because mankind will always find a way to live off the life and they will sell it as liberty and it will be nothing more or nothing less than slavery. They'll tell you you're free, but man, half of what you make is gone. Tell me you're not a slave. You just don't know it. It's been labeled differently. God wants us to have liberty. But liberty is not true unless liberty is for all. It's got to be for all. How can we be free and say we're free in a world where there's so much slavery and oppression? See, the way of the world will constantly enslave because it's about grabbing for self and putting down others. The strong over the weak. But the will of God says, here is the man of God. This is the one who stands for the fatherless, for the widow, for the weak, for the poor. Pure and undefiled religion is what? Who knows? James 1. Who can say it to me? Yes, Rick. Right. Visit the widow and the orphan in their affliction. And what's the other part of the verse? Keep oneself unspotted from the world. What is the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When God is commanding to take and eat of all the food that He's making, He's commanding us to imbibe in the will of God. My food is to do the will of God. It is the will of God that endures forever. This is what we eat. This is what we live on. This is what sustains us. This is what will make the kingdom of God the most glorious kingdom to ever be on this earth for all time, without end, with peace for everyone. God prophesies that in His kingdom, everyone will sit under their fig tree, everyone will sit under their vine, and nobody will make them afraid. There's nobody coming to hurt you. This is the promise of the kingdom of God, and how is it achieved? By bringing sons and daughters to glory in the image and the stature and in the fullness of Jesus Christ, who do not for themselves, but do for others. And they're eating, what they live on, what they're seeking, what they labor for, is to continue to do the will of God for eternity. You see, all the creative work that we've been discussing in Genesis 1 is leading us somewhere. God is not just trying to save us. The salvation is just the beginning. It is who God is making us to be as sons and daughters to live with Him for eternity. The kingdom of God does not come about by chance. It comes about by design, by the creation of God, taking of those who by faith will accept Him and believe in Him, and Him forming us and shaping us so that we can be members of a kingdom where nobody makes afraid. Not you, not me, not anybody else. That's how God delivers such audacious promises, right? There'll be no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. Because God is doing a work in you and me. Don't be deceived in what God is doing in your life. You are a new creature. You are a new creation. He's maturing you. He's taking you places. He's wanting you to be involved in a work of submitting to Him so that you can be overcoming what this world is and be becoming who Jesus Christ is. This is the food. This is what we eat. This is what we live by. This is the blessing that God has. And as much as we can look out into the future, into the kingdom of God, as we can talk about living in a resurrected state with the body of Christ, for as much as we now bear the image of the earthly man, we will bear the image of the heavenly man, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Now is the process being taken place in our lives if you indeed accept the calling of Christ to be a first fruit, to be those who are His, to be those who are raised with Him in glory. We work in ourselves and we work in others. Notice back here in John chapter 4 again. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. So Jesus says in verse 34, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me, and to finish His work." You think about that in your lives? Would you say that, "Yes, David, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me, and to finish His work"? Is this the way you operate? Is everything in submission to that in your lives? Because this is the model of Christ. What would Jesus do? Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me, and to finish His work." You remember when He was 12 years old, right? They went up to keep the Feast of Passover, staying there for Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for the days. The family's going home. They don't know where He is. They go back. They search for Him for 3 days. Once you start to get worried if your 12-year-old was missing for 3 days, where did they find Him? No, Jesus hasn't been abducted. Jesus is in the temple asking questions and teaching. And they're like, "Don't you know how worried we were? We're sick. We're so anxious looking for You. Where have You been?" He said, "Didn't you know I'd be about My Father's business?" This is what we do as children of God. This is our work. This is our labor, to do the work of God and to finish His work. We have work, my friends. John chapter 4 and in verse 34. "So My food is to do the will of Him who sent Me and to finish His work. Do you not say, 'There is still 4 months, and then comes the harvest?' Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." There's the joy. That's why we pray when we see a brother or sister sinning. We're going before God to make petitions, to work the work of the family. See, when you go to before the Lord and you say, "God, this person is falling in a habit of being drunk, or they're not walking with You, or things aren't right in their marriage, or they're living in the way of the world. Please, God, help them, bless them, give them of Your Spirit so they can start walking in Your will." You realize this is the work of the family. This is what we do. This is our business. Our family business is to bring people to come to reject the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, to reject the world and its ways, and to embrace the ways of Almighty God according to His will, which will be love, serving, kindness, generosity, producing fruits that bring others to repentance. You see, whether it's a word that we have, whether we're ready to give an answer when we're questioned, whether we're there to be an example, to give encouragement, whether it's to pray for them, with them in their presence, or alone when nobody sees what the left hand is doing from the right. Wherever it is, your life, my life, to be given in service to others. This was the work of Jesus, and my friends, this is the work of you. As you come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, you were born to be the children of God, sons and daughters. To offer up prayers, to offer up sacrifices, that proclaim His praises. That's what we're here to do. So continuing on, he says, verse 36, "And so he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I've sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you enter into their labors." We keep laboring. You see, as we're together in this fellowship, you realize we've expanded our horizons to serve. One of the reasons that the book of Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, he says, but rather that you come together that you could, what, stir up others. That you could stir up the love, that you could stir up the good works, that you could stir up the things that produce fruit. You have an opportunity to produce fruit and give fruit to everybody else in this room. You see, as we live together as the children of God, it's the fruit that I produce that hopefully you can partake of. It's fruit you produce that hopefully I can partake of. And we share in it together, ultimately, so that God is all and in all. God wants us to be all together in this, in a fellowship, in a community, rejoicing before Him, doing His will, where we share in the food that He gives forever. You know, as a parent, there's almost nothing more delightful when you see your kids playing and having a good time. I'll tell you what, some of the best days of my life are just watching my kids, watching our family enjoy life. All the labor, all the work that you do, and then seeing it come to fruition with joyful, happy times. I came back from a trip this week, and we got a swimming pool just built in our yard recently, and I just stood there at the window just watching my two sons just playing and just having an awesome time. They were just laughing, and they were wrestling around in the pool and just smiling and just having such an awesome time. And the realization hits you, it's so great to see that. They weren't fighting. They weren't being selfish. They're helpful. They're loving. They're having fun. They're enjoying the blessings that God has poured out on them. What a delightful thing to see children being thankful, children being humble, children not wanting to hurt each other, but just wanting to play together, just wanting to be together, wanting to serve one another. And you realize it's just a small glimpse into the world of God and what He is looking at. You can look at this whole world and you can see all this fighting, you can see all this turmoil and all this trouble, but you realize that God says the same thing. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Why? I mean, this is what God is doing. To bring many sons and daughters to glory, so that people can learn to live together according to the will of God. Not our own ways, but God's way. Not serving ourselves, but serving others. In every relationship that you have, it will always come down to how you use your dominion and authority in that relationship to serve the other person. That's where the key is to happiness. That's where the key is to joy. That's where the key is to a happy and glad heart and a strong heart. That's where the real food is. What makes a marriage great? Isn't it when the husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? And isn't it when the wife loves and submits to her husband as the church does to Christ? Isn't that where the real joy comes from? Not when both are selfish, demanding of the other, but when both are sacrificing for the other, their interests, their needs. How can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I relieve your burden? How can I do for someone else? And those principles are the very will and food of God. It's it right there. When you do that in your marriage, you're eating the food of God. Isn't that what makes the heart glad? That makes it strong? That makes your face shine? Because you're both doing for others, and you're enjoying the fruit of that labor. God works in my wife. She does things for me. I enjoy the fruit of that. She made a little gift for somebody today. I have as much enjoyment in that as anybody else. I didn't even do the work. Just enjoying what she did for somebody else. I'm partaking of her fruit of kindness, of sacrifice of time for somebody else. I'm partaking of that, and that makes me happy. I sacrifice for her. I do things that help provide to give to her life so that she has resources to clothe her family and to take care of her life and to have things that she desires. It's a blessing to her. It gives her joy in life. Because I go out for my family. It's not about so I can have for myself. It's so I can have for my family. And if I do unto her and to my children, and she does unto me and to my children, our family will continue to grow together according to the will of God, because that is the food we want to eat. And it's the food that gives life. But God gives you dominion. What will you do when somebody enters your universe, when somebody enters your sphere, your planet? Because you're just a walking, talking piece of animated earth. God puts you in this vessel. You are His creation. And when people come into contact with who you are, what do they experience? What is life like on your planet? He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill it, subdue it, have dominion over it. What do people see when they come into your realm? What do they see when they come in to interact with you? Hopefully it's everything God created in days 1 to 6 in your life they see being manifested. Because if they do, they now can partake of the fruit of God. You want them showing up at a beautified, recreated earth. You don't want them going to Mars. There's no life there. It's barren. It's dry. You want them showing up at the world that God has recreated. My life was a mess till God came in. He recreates in me. I imagine all of you have the same story. And when we see things start to go awry, we know, wait, I need to tend and keep. I need to take the dominion that God has given me back over this. Don't let the things of God slide away. Don't be worried about pursuing the food that perishes. Only pursue the food that perishes so that it builds the dream for the food that never perishes. Pursue the food of God, and God will give you the food you need. He's the provider. He's the protector. He's the one who's left you these blessings. Well, I just want to finish with one more verse. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. You can read in Acts chapter 2. Don't turn to Acts chapter 2. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. But in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached the message and the 120 received the Holy Spirit, and he said, men, you need to repent. And they were cut to the heart. And they said, what do we do? He said, you know, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this calling is not just to you, but to you and your children, to all those far off who God has called. And they started adding, you know, 3,000 to the church, and they're adding members. But it said that they ate their food together with simplicity and gladness of heart. Why? What made the food taste so good? It was that they had come in line with the will of God. It made everything better. The Bible verse that was read today, the memory verse by was that Aaliyah? I can't remember which one read it now. Better to have, right, a morsel of food with gladness of heart than have a huge feast with strife. Simplicity and gladness of heart comes from God. So notice here in Luke 12, verse 42, Luke 12, 42 says this, the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? You have the opportunity to give of the fruit that God is producing in your life to somebody else. It's our business. We're in the produce business. We get the produce together and we're delivering it to somebody else. That's what we do. Every blessing that comes from God is so we can redistribute that blessing to somebody else. You don't hold on to it. You don't hoard it. God said there's a day coming when those who hoard and are miserly won't be considered wealthy anymore. The wealthy is who has to give. The more you give, the more you receive, so that you can give even more. It's an awesome way that God works all these things out. You are in the produce business. This is what we do unto Almighty God, to bring sons and daughters to glory, to be a part of that harvest. As it says in verse 42, to give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. God wants to give you dominion. He wants you to have dominion. And he wants you to have dominion so that you can share in this. Do you know that is your calling? For we did not receive the spirit of fear, but we received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And if heirs of God, then joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's who you are. That's who you were called to be. To have rulership with Christ. But only as Christ lives in you will it work. Verse 45, but if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat him, the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk. In other words, the lusts for me, to have for myself, to overeat, to overdrink, to beat others and not consider them. Verse 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So here's my question to you. What has God given you? And how have you used it? What has God committed to you? And how are you using it? What has God shared with you? And how are you using it? Are you a black hole, where everything gets sucked in and nothing's going back out? Or are you the one that's taking what the Master has given you and using it to give others food? Notice that again in verse 42. Who is the faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. It's the one who takes what he's been given and gives it out. This is what makes the kingdom of God so awesome, and this is what makes life today awesome. When you are in relationships with people who do this, but realize it's not just for us to share as a church, but to go out. The fields are white for harvest. Are you involved in the work of God? Are you involved in the business of God? Are you pursuing the food that never perishes, that lasts forever? I pray that you would be. And I pray that you think about these things. Because to whom much is given, much is required. It's your responsibility. All the work of God creating you new is so that you, new creature of God, can take it to the world. Can take it to others. Remember that. Think on these things.